Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Have you ever had a boss who drove you crazy? Maybe you've got one right now. Think about this. God can use that boss who drives you crazy to help you mature as a believer in Christ. In fact, God can use an unhappy workplace to help you grow in your Christ-likeness. It's sort of like this. God plants little seeds in your heart, seeds of love, seeds of joy, seeds of peace, seeds of patience. And then God allows the difficulties you experience at work to act as fertilizer to help you mature. And he does this because he's trying to make something extraordinary out of you. You see, God's developing you to become the person he created you to be. One of God's five purposes for your life is that you were created to become like Christ. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens when you're awake, not when you're asleep. And that's when you're at work. And when you're at work and you're asking things like, why is this such a tough place? Or why are these people picking on me? Or why does my boss seem to really work at pushing all my buttons? When you ask those questions, you're really just asking the same questions King Solomon asked in the Bible. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, and in that book he says, you know, you spend your life working and laboring, and what do you have to show for it? It's a great question. And we're going to find the answers to it in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes. So let's get started as we look into God's Word.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Well, we begin a series called Doing Business with God. In these lessons, we'll learn what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord, and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, and you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called The Purpose of Work.
In your lifetime, you're going to spend 150,000 hours of your life at work. That's about 40% of your life working. Work defines our lives. Work describes our lives. It dominates our lives. It identifies our lives. And that's why we're going to do a series on it now for the next several weeks. What is God's will for your work? A recent study showed that about two-thirds of people say, if I could have a different job, I would. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. I don't think I'm in the right job after all. And so what we're going to do during this series is look at what the Bible says, God's word, about work. And we're going to look at questions like, what do I do when I get laid off? How do I get a promotion? What is the best job for me? What should I be doing with my life? How do I even know what's the best kind of job for me? What do you do when you've got a bad boss and you've got conflict going on? What do you want to do if you want to start a new business? The Bible actually has a lot of material to answer all of these questions. Today, to kick us off in this series I'm calling Doing Business with God, I want us to look at the fundamental question, and it's this. Why? Why work? What is the purpose of work? Now, it's not a new question. Thousands and thousands of years ago, Solomon asked this question in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look on your outline. The Bible says this, Ecclesiastes 3:9. What do people really get for all their hard work? What do people really get? What's the benefit? What's the payoff? What's the purpose of all the hard work? If I'm going to spend 40% of my life working, what in the world is the reason for that? Now, I know some people think that actually work is punishment from God. But it's not. They say, but doesn't the Bible say that after sin entered the world, God cursed the ground, he kicked them out of Garden of Eden and said, now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Yes, that's true. But even before sin entered the world, God had work for Adam and Eve to do. He gave them assignments. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it's here on the screen, God put the man in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. To work it and to care for it. Even in paradise, work was a part of God's plan. So the result of sin is not work. The result of sin is work is harder. It's more difficult. It's more disappointing. It's more demeaning. It has drudgery. It has disappointments. These are the things that are brought on by work. Work is painful. But the fact is, the Bible says God works. In fact, God is working all the time. Jesus said it like this on the screen. My Father is always at his work, and I, too, am working. God is constantly working. So it's not a sin to work. In fact, the reason we work is because we're made in God's image. And God says he's working all the time. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to work in heaven. You say, oh, no. What'd you think you were going to do? Sit around and play a harp all day? No. God has work for you to do. Only it's good work. It's fulfilling work. There are no mosquitoes in heaven. No bad bosses in heaven. No gossip. No inter-office politics in heaven. And so the good thing is you'll have work to do, but it'll be fit your shape, and it will be fulfilling, and it will be fun. But you're not just going to lay around, because you weren't made to do nothing. And so there will be work in heaven. Now today, the government will pay you to not work. So why? I mean, why work? I mean, if the government will pay, why not just stay in bed and collect, government payments? I talked the other day to a guy, and I said, why are you working? He says, I work to retire. And I said, now, haven't you got that a little bit backwards? I'm going to spend all my life doing something I don't want to do, so in the last couple of years, I can do what I really want to do. Shouldn't you be doing what you really want to do all along? Isn't that giving it backwards? You're going to use your best energy, your best mind, your best physical health to do something you don't want to do, and then when you have lost a lot of your strength and lost a lot of your energy, then you're going to do what you really want to do. There's got to be a better purpose for work than simply in order to retire. And there is. In fact, the Bible gives us six purposes of work. And they're actually like levels of motivation from the least important to the most important. So the first motivation, or the first reason, the first purpose of work, it's pretty basic. It's important, but it's just basic. The highest level of work we're going to get to, which is the sixth level, in just a minute. So first, let's start off with what's the purpose of work? Six purposes. Number one, the most basic motivation for work is necessity, and that is to meet my needs. I work to meet my needs. That's the principle of necessity. Now, this is the most obvious basic reason. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on it. We work to stay alive. This is the survival mode reason for work. If I don't work, I don't eat. I owe, so off to work I go. Proverbs 12, verse 11 says in the Message, the one who stays on the job has food on the table. This is really pretty simple. I work in order to be able to stay alive. I work out of necessity. I work to meet my needs. Now, the Bible says not only are we to provide for ourselves, we are to be self-sufficient if at all possible. There are times when we can't be self-sufficient, but if we are able to, we are to be self-sufficient. And the Bible also says that we are to provide for our own family, particularly our own immediate family. That's our responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not somebody else's. It's my responsibility if I'm able to work. Now, as I said, sometimes I'm not able, but when I am responsible for the needs of my family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Whoa, that's pretty strong words. God says that providing for those in my family is my spiritual responsibility. That we are to take care of our own families as best as possible. Now, There are many people today who don't actually believe this. They think, if I don't want to work, I shouldn't have to work. I'm not talking about can. I'm not talking about inability. I'm talking about no desire. I don't want to work, so I shouldn't have to work. So the government should pay for me, or you should pay for me, or somebody else should pay for me, simply because I don't want to work. I want to read to you an editorial in the LA Times. I'm not making this up. It's almost too hard to believe, but somebody actually wrote this in the LA Times. Quote, "There's been a lot of criticism of people lately who do not want to work, especially when they're collecting welfare. Now, most people prefer to work, and that's fine for them. But others may prefer to sit in the park or go to the beach or observe the wonders of nature. Those who dislike working should not be penalized by depriving them of the benefits of all of our society. There's plenty for all of us. Everyone does not feel the same way about working. Some people actually have built-in feelings about work that could make it very unpleasant for them." Oh, really? Really? "When they're required to work. Now, these feelings could be looked upon as a handicap. We do not punish others with handicaps. Instead, our society provides for them. And we should do the same for those with a natural dislike for work. Why can't we all just live and let live with each other living in its own style?" Now, can you believe that? This guy is recommending that laziness be categorized as a disability. Now, the point is that I want to make this, wherever you have freedom, you have freeloaders. Somebody ought to tweak that, okay? Wherever you got freedom, you've got freeloaders.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Purpose of Work from our series called Doing Business with God. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you are working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
You know, the pilgrims, when they came to America to found this country, made a rule right off the bat, and it was this: whoever is unwilling to work doesn't share in the meal. They had a common meal. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, where in the world would they get an idea like that? From the Bible. Look at the next verse on your outline. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this: whoever doesn't want to work shouldn't be allowed to eat. Now, circle the word doesn't want, the phrase. No, he's not saying you can't work. Sometimes you can't work. Sometimes you're disabled. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you've got extenuating circumstance. You're caring for somebody who's sick, or you've got little kids at home, or all kinds of different. Whoever doesn't want to work should not be allowed to eat. It's not that they can't work, it's that they won't work. God says everybody who can work is supposed to work. There's no free lunch. No loaves for loafers. But that's not you or me. What about when all my needs are met? I mean, if the first purpose of work is simply to meet my physical needs, once I've got enough to just meet my physical needs, isn't it okay that I just stop working because I've got enough to meet my physical needs? Isn't that okay for me to stop? The answer is no. Because there are five other purposes of work besides meeting your physical need. God did not put you here on earth just to take up space, breathe air, live for yourself, and die. If you're alive, God expects you to be making some kind of contribution with your life. It may not seem significant to you, but your life has a contribution to make. And God will always have you, whether you're making money or not, making a contribution with your life. You're not free to just do nothing for the rest of your life simply because you can afford to do nothing the rest of your life. If you're not going to do anything with your life, God should ought to just kill you and take you on to heaven. Because he didn't leave you here to be selfish. Now the Bible says this, Proverbs 13 verse 4, there on your outline. Let's read this aloud with great enthusiasm. All right? Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Circle the word prosper. God is not opposed to prosperity. God is opposed to selfishness. God is opposed to greed. God is opposed to self-centeredness. But God is not opposed to prosperity. In fact, many of the greatest saints in the Bible were very, very wealthy people. Job, Abraham, David, Moses, Lydia, I could go through the whole list. Many of the people in the Bible were actually quite wealthy. God's not opposed to prosperity. He is opposed to selfishness. And Jesus actually praised businessmen who used business skills to make a profit. Profit is a good word. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word. You want your life to be profitable. Jesus commended the two men who doubled their return on investment in their money. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. In fact, the guy who played it safe didn't take an investment, didn't make any risk, didn't do anything with his life or his talent. He said, that was wicked. And all through Scripture, Jesus commends wise business people. Now, the fact is the Bible is filled with principles for successful business, for successful career, for successful job, vocation, work. And it is my job as your pastor to help you succeed in this area that you're going to spend 40% of your life in. That's why for 6 weeks we're going to look at God's will for your work. Now, you may be working at home. You have little kids at home. That's not a 9-to-5 job. That's called a 24-hour-a-day job. And you're working far harder than somebody who's working simply 9-to-5. But everybody has some kind of work in their life. And we're going to look at the principles for work. The first purpose is necessity. I work to live. I work to make a living. The second purpose of work is not necessity, it's identity. And the purpose of identity is to express my talent. God wants you to work so you can express what he made you to be. He's given you certain gifts and talents. He expects you to use them. He's given you certain personality. We call this your shape, S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gift, heart, ability, personality, experiences. And God doesn't want you to hide those things. God wants you to use them. Work is a place to show your creativity. Work is a place to create beauty. Work is a place to make a difference. Work is a place to give back. And God says, I want you to express your identity, to express your talent through your work. Now that means the best work for you is the work that best expresses your talent. Some of you are in jobs, it's not doing that. God has wired every one of us to do something different. And the reason we all like to do different things is so everything gets done. I mean, if we all like to do what you like to do, then there'd be a lot of things left behind. Now, some of you, you're really good at numbers. You're good at math. You're really good at that. Some of you, you suck at math. Okay, you're terrible at it. You're just bad. Some of you are good with words, and you're good at writing and composing. And some of you, you couldn't spell cat if you had to. Some of you, you're really good with physical things. You have good hand-eye coordination. Some of us are very uncoordinated physically. You may be good with mechanical things. Or you may, some of you have a supernatural ability to empathize with people. You have great caring skills. You have great serving skills. And people who do hospice, people who are nurses, people who are preschool teachers, who have an amazing ability to serve. And the rest of us, we're not like that. Some of you are by nature super organized. And if we were to go and look in your closet, all your blue shoes are together. And you think everybody has a closet like that. None of us have closets like that. You're the only one. But you have a natural ability to organize. And what you are good at, you think everybody else is good at. They're not. We're not. But we need people doing different things so everything gets done. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want you to turn to the person next to you right now and say, thank you for not being like me. All right, just go ahead. Thank you for not being like me. All right. It's very important. We only need one of you in this world. One of you is enough. Now, when you do what you're shaped to do and your work matches your shape, oh, that's a whole lot of fun.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Maybe you've never thought about it, but your job matters to God. You say, how is that? Well, because God planned what you would do with your life, and part of your life includes your job, your work. God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. Now listen. It doesn't matter what your job is. You may be a manager or a stay-at-home mom or dad. You may be a doctor, a teacher, sales clerk, garbage collector. You may be a taxi cab driver. You may be paid or unpaid. You may be a volunteer in your work. No matter what you do, God uses your job to put you in a place where you can minister to others. And your ministry is actually in your job. Now, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to equip you for your ministry at work. So I put together a study kit that I've called Christians in the Workplace. And it actually includes six sessions. They're study sessions. And there's a DVD and there's a study guide where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier and I teach you about ministry at work. And together, we talk about opportunities for spiritual growth, and we give you a guide for moral and ethical decision-making, and we talk about how to find opportunities in your work to share your faith with others. There's a lot of helpful material in this kit, and I'd like to send it to you. I'd like to send you Christians in the Workplace Study Kit just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And when you support this ministry, you are helping not only share the good news with people around the world, you're helping Christians to grow. Now, I believe that this series is going to be a good series to help you because we all have to work in different ways. And you'll benefit from this study, and it'll be a great small group study you could actually do with some friends. Now, we're a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. So, thank you for your gifts. And by the way, visit my website, rickwarren.org, and you can find all kinds of information about other materials, resources, and studies, and of course, the Daily Hope broadcast. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your support. I love you. I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you. So join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.